cool. Well, guys, how are you doing?
Good.
Good? Yeah. How's your week been?
Pretty good.
Okay. Stressful. Yeah, I understand that. Actually, it's funny because I didn't know what I was speaking on because I thought I was speaking on righteousness, which is what I was originally speaking on a while ago. And then I got Ben's email saying that some things had switched and that I was speaking on truth. And truth is actually really timely right now in my life because I've, as some of you know, I'm back in school this year in my third year of university, and I'm taking international development studies as well as doing like a course with Schulich School of Business, like a certificate program. But something, and I don't know if you find this in school, but something about school sometimes is that there's a lot of different ideologies, like idea, that just means different ideas about the world and different philosophies and different opinions about things that often challenge or contradict truth. Does that ring any bells to anyone in this room? Yeah? Okay, cool. Well, so it was really interesting because I've had a pretty rough week, actually, asking God tons of questions, and then when I found out I was speaking about truth, I'm like, oh, of course I am. Thanks, God. That's great. After I've been asking you so many questions. But before I start, how about we just pray? Is that cool?
Yeah.
Cool. So, Dad, I thank you that you are so good, and I thank you that you have given us tools in your kingdom, and that all of them, it's more just like so that we can have fun with you. Because at the end of the day, you win the battle. And it's not that the battle isn't there. It just, you've already given us the tools to win. Whenever we encounter a conflict in life, you've already been victorious, and we have a way out. And that's what our relationship with you is for. And God, I pray that tonight you would give us a really practical and really simplified version of what all of this stuff looks like and what it means to wear the armor of God and why we need it. And God, we love you and thank you just so much that you're here. And bless my speaking. Amen. So the armor of God. Did you guys all read that yet? Because that's the series that we're doing. So in Ephesians 6, it's at the very end of Ephesians, it says, I'm just going to read it really quickly. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Okay, so first of all, before I even go any further, it's already a promise of God that at any point in time, whenever we encounter what feels like a battle, because there is real stuff going on, right? Like, we all know that there's God, and there's the enemy. But the thing is the only, I don't even want to say power, because the enemy doesn't really have any power, other than can lie and deceive us, really, right? Like, all the enemy can do is maybe say to us like a lie, and we can come into agreement with that. But God has given us the tools to be like seek him and know his truth, which is actually what gets rid of all that stuff, which we're going to go into a little bit more. But I want to get it across here that like it's not something to fear, and this is not like it's not some like big time battle that we have to go in and fight in our own strength to win, because actually God gave us the tools and the reasons, the answers in himself and in the word. And part of this battle is literally just learning that actually at the end of the day, your dad beat death. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like a mind thing. Okay, so moving on from that. It says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, which is what we're going to talk about, and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. And in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fire arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Okay, so here it lays out what the armor of God is. I encourage you guys to learn what the armor of God is. Like, I'm like, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the good news of the gospel, and I don't know if I'm missing anything else. And helmet of salvation. And the stilettos of the gospel. No, but really, like, one of the things my grandmother said to me a while ago, she's like this amazing woman, my nanny, and she told me once, she was like, Jess, you know, I really encourage you to, like, learn what the armor of God is, because it will remind you of the things that are in his kingdom, like righteousness and truth and peace and salvation. And what the armor of God is all this stuff that we get when we realize that we've been adopted into an amazing kingdom as royalty. It's like the armor of royalty. Does that make any sense? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it helps, it reminds us who we are and what we have on our side. And in Psalm 56, it says that God is for us. I'm not exactly sure of the address of that, but it does say that. I don't know. Psalm 56, it says God is for us. And in that, I'm like, we need to be reminded of that, right? When we're living day to day, because otherwise, if we don't believe our dad is for us, that God is for us, we're not going to really want to talk to him about what we're struggling with or maybe the lies that we have been believing to find out his truth. Is that kind of true? Can you resonate to that? So I guess I'll just start off really quickly. What do you think truth is? Like, what have you heard about truth? What do you, like, as a definition, what is truth? Anybody wants to say. It's okay to be wrong. I asked lots of questions about what truth is, what you think it is.
Truth sometimes hurts and offends, but you know.
Okay. So truth sometimes hurts and offends.
A lot of people preach that. Truth is a person. Truth is a person. Jesus is God. Truth is a person. Jesus is truth. So he's a person.
Yeah. It's true.
So much so that
your soul responds to truth.
Pardon?
Your soul responds to truth.
Okay. That's interesting. Well, one thing God was talking to me about was that a lot of the time we get told, and you guys have probably heard this, but like that facts are truth, right? Like that's not true, but in the way that it works in society and in our culture is that we live, since the Enlightenment, and I'm not going to get into this, but we live in a really rational kind of, and there's nothing wrong with thinking and being rational whatsoever. We live in a society that says this plus this should equal this. And that when the facts add up, that's what truth is. Or some people might have heard that truth is whatever truth is to you, whatever you know, because truth is relative, which gets talked about a lot. And if you haven't heard this, I'm telling you that this is what I'm hearing in schools and in university and in other places. And that's people trying to find out what the truth is and making things up sometimes. But at the end of the day, God's word, you know, says in John, it says that I am, John 14:5-7 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is kind of touching on what John was saying and how Jesus said, like, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And that means that, yes, truth is a person, but also means that God was saying something when he said that. And he was saying that, like, there are foundational truths in my kingdom. And those are things to be discovered and to know. But we can't know what those things are unless we're in relationship with him. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, tonight I was kind of asking God, like, what do you want me to say? And I felt like God really wanted to focus on the difference between lies and truth, and just how a lot of the time we need to know God's character in order to recognize what a lie is, right? Because whenever in life, like, the voice of love, which is God's voice, is going to be very kind and not forceful and, like, not that he's not able to discipline, because a good father disciplines his kids, but that is something that's, like, so crucial in learning what truth is and being like, okay, God is speaking to me now because I know that his voice sounds like this. And often God will say to me just, you know, like, you're so wonderful. What are you doing over there in that situation? If I'm in a situation that I shouldn't be in, or that's harming me, or that's not good for my emotions, or my, even just my physical body, if I'm out too late, like, it's really simple like that sometimes. But God will say, like, you're so, like, awesome. Why are you doing that to yourself? Like, I know how much you're worth. Do you know how much you're worth? And some of that, that is truth. Like, living in a relationship with God when he's pointing out to you things that are like, okay, this is stuff that's keeping you from living, like, life and life abundantly. And Jesus says in his word that I come to bring life and life to the fullest, and that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? We all know that.
Yeah.
We've heard that one, John 10:10. So whenever things are being destroyed, killed, or we're experiencing lies, that's not God. God is the one who's like, I'm bringing life and life to the fullest. Whenever we experience, like, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, whenever we experience any of those things, those good things that God has given us, that is God speaking to you. And that is a part of his kingdom, is like, that's what's happening. But when we're living life, and it's like, it doesn't mean that we won't have, like, rough times, like circumstances and the facts, right? Sometimes for me in life, like, the fact of the matter is right now I'm in school and I'm persevering. Part of this is persevering and getting through, like, some things that I don't necessarily agree with. I have to sit through classes and learn about stuff that I'm like, well, I know the truth, but this isn't necessarily lining up with that. But does that mean that I'm going to go and walk away from it if God has said, Jess, I want you to be here because actually you're somebody who affects change. You don't need to be afraid of this stuff because you've already won with me. Like, none of this stuff actually affects you. And if you know who you are, this isn't scary. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I want to read this verse that he kind of was talking to me about, and we're just going to unpack it a little bit. It's in Psalm 86, so if you have your Bible, you can turn there. And it says, actually, let me show that. It says, it's Psalm 86, 11 and 12. It says, teach me your, David is speaking here. Okay, it says, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. And I have in brackets, not circumstances or facts. So that obviously meant when David was speaking, if he's saying, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth, that meant that for him, he probably wasn't living in what he knew was true, which is like life abundantly in love and seeing his life redeemed, because that's what Jesus did on the cross. He didn't die so that we could have like crappy lives, and so that we could just wallow in pain and focus on all of this, all of the terrible stuff that's happening around us. He died so that that stuff would be beat, so that death would be done, finished, and so that we could know him personally and walk this life with the one who beat death. And so that we could be people who, like, you know, who are seen for our lifestyles and, like, have joy overflowing. So people are like, what the heck is, like, what do you have, you know, in your life that, like, I was in a sauna. I'm going to quickly tell a quick story. I was in a sauna recently at my gym, and it was really funny. I was just sitting there, and then these three women walked in, and there were these moms, and they're really cool. And I was totally needing, like, a night with moms. Do you guys ever get that? I don't know if you ever get this, but no, some of the guys were like, no, whatever, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, that's cool. You'll probably understand later. But I was just like, oh, man, I could really, like, use a mom's advice right about now. I don't know, I just was feeling like that. Anyways, we're sitting in there, and God was like, you know what, as a daughter, though, you contribute so much to this world. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I was just kind of sitting in the sun, like, not really paying attention. And these three women walked in, older women. They all had teenagers, and they were telling me about their lives and stuff. And we got talking, and I told them, like, that on Friday nights, like, I volunteer with youth, and, you know, I kind of get it. I'm not a mom, but I kind of get, like, that it's tough sometimes when you love someone and they're kind of off doing crazy things and you're worried about them and you don't understand because it's a different culture and it's a different generation. And they're saying, you know, my daughter wants to be out till this time at night and it's so, like, ridiculous. She's just, like, clubbing. I don't even understand what that means. Like, the one lady, and they're from all different cultures. And I'm like, it must be so different. Like, I'm not a mom, but it must be hard to let go of your kids, right? When, and to also discipline them, but because I could see this tension where it was like, they wanted their kids to like them. So they were like, not necessarily putting good boundaries down for their kids. But a good dad will do that, you know, and sometimes truth is going to keep us from the things that, like, isn't good for us. If God reveals truth to you and says, actually, this isn't good for you right now, and I want you to start living your life like this. For instance, an example for me would be going to bed earlier. It's really simple, but it's something that God's like, can you start to do that? Not that it's a sin to go to bed late. It's not that. It's that he's actually trying to work character in me, and if I'm not listening to him, I'm not going to really be able and prepared for, like, some of the things. I can't think straight or whatever. He knows what's best for me, right, as a dad. Anyways, back to the story. I'm totally getting all distracted. But back to the story about the moms. I was talking to them about, like, how, some of the things we teach, and I was saying how, like, it's amazing what happens when you know the worth of who you are, that you'll treat yourself with dignity and with respect. And they were saying, one of the moms was saying she was really worried about her daughter getting in and out of this relationship and different boys coming over to the house and this and that. And she's like, I don't even know them and they don't talk to me and it's so weird. I was sitting there and they were like, do you have a boyfriend? And I said, no, I don't right now, actually. And I was kind of talking to them about my story and just kind of being like, you know, I really decided right now to just kind of, like, focus on school, and not that romance isn't an important thing in life, but to focus on what God has asked me to be in. And they're like, oh, well, that must be difficult. And I was like, yeah, actually it is sometimes when there's, like, opportunities here and there to go and partake in something that isn't necessarily wrong, but God is saying not to do that in my life right now. And it was funny because they're like, oh, well, I'm just worried that my daughter's, you know, sleeping around. And they started telling me all this stuff about their lives. And I realized, I'm like, the reason that they're sitting here talking to me about this is that they're actually, like, seeing something inside of me that I don't even know, like, I didn't even know God was moving in a sauna in this place. And I'm like, well, you know, like, I don't know, something I tell the girls at youth is, like, if you know what you're worth, you're not going to sell it, like, for really, really cheap. You know, you're going to walk and know that you are, like, worth being, like, cherished, and that you're gonna, like, treat yourself as though, you, like, your body matters, right? And so don't just go and give it away to things. But that's, like, anything. That's, like, our minds and our souls, and it's because it's all connected, guys. And one of the things they were saying was, I was saying, like, you know, we have to be people who are willing to, like, to stand up for what's right. And they were sitting in there and they're just listening to me speak. And the one lady goes, where did you learn this? That's really wise. Where did you learn all this stuff? Like, who told you all this? And she's like, did you just figure it out on your own? Opportunity. I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm actually a Christian, and I didn't always live my life this way. It's been a really, like, quite a long journey. It's only, like, for me, it's been 3 years since I actually started listening to God. I mean, he's been speaking to me all my life, but I wasn't listening very well. But it's really cool that in this moment, I was just talking to them about my life and my experience at the time, And all of a sudden they're like, you have something I want, like wisdom and truth. Like, you know what I mean? It was like, I didn't have to say that stuff, but I was telling the truth by saying, this is what we're worth. Like, human beings aren't commodities. We're not objects to be bought and sold. And our world tells us, you're a commodity. Right? Like, quickly go out there and buy things. What you wear is who you are. What you do with your life is who you are. And it's all of this stuff. What you think and how you think is like a part of your identity. But that's not true. And that's not what God says at all. And it's really another quick story is, I'm just going to tell some stories actually, is that like I've been in school and one of the things we learn in, I'm in international development and in my gender class as well as in my poli-sci class, there's all these different theories and philosophies right now. And when it comes to the term identity, as of right now in most school systems, what's being taught is that you can, identity is what you decide to be. So your identity is found in who you decide, like, what you decide to be. It's socially constructed. So it's a, if you've been living in North America, your identity will be constructed over time based on that. Okay. That's a really nice theory because there's all these theories. And it's not like I can sit in class of 400 people and put my hand up and be like, well, no, actually that's not true. Our identity comes from God and we're all children of the Most High King, sons and daughters, and that's not true. No, that just doesn't work like that. I wish it did. Maybe it'd be easier. But it doesn't. And so, you know, here's all this stuff getting taught to me. And I have to learn it and take it as what they call truth. But in my heart of hearts, I walk away going, if we can all just perform and decide who we are and be actors all of our lives, we're not going to get much done and we're not ever going to know ourselves. We're not going to get to know God, who is the one who determines our identity and determines what we're made for, because he created us, right? And like, it's kind of interesting, like, I don't know about you guys, but is there ever stuff in school where you're like, I felt like God was saying, like, this isn't the only time, but is there ever stuff where you're like, why is that happening, or why did that happen, and you're asking God questions, or maybe you're not asking God questions, but you're wondering in the classroom, like, well, that totally contradicts this, or my friend said this, and I didn't understand, and that doesn't really go in line with what God says, and you're kind of stuck in this position that's like, oh, I don't know the answer. Do you guys ever experience that? Yeah. And is it rough sometimes? Like, it's not really easy, right? Yeah. But because also you want to keep relationship with people, right? So it's like when there's disagreement, you're like, oh, I don't want to like just preach at them and tell them what the truth is, because, and that's when prayer comes in. That's when like, something like this armor comes in, because in tonight in prayer, I got this picture of us all wearing these Velcro suits. I'm just going to share it with you guys who weren't there. And it was like, we were wearing these Velcro suits and we had all these lies attached to us on the Velcro suits. And so many people are walking around with these like Velcro suits, and they're really trendy Velcro suits. And like, they've got all these like labels on them. Like, I'm this, and this is who I'm going to be. And right. And like, or I'm an accountant, or I'm an IDS student, or I'm a dancer, or and those are all a part of our, of what we do because of what we believe, like who we believe we are. But like, it's not our identities. And God was saying, I want you to take off the Velcro suits and wear my armor, which actually reminds you of where you come from. Does that make sense? Like, it's a really, I know it's tough, but it's like when you remember that you're wearing a belt of truth and that you look different, and that's okay. There's this quote from Little Women, which I love, and it's stuck with me for years. And it says, the mom is saying to her daughter, she sits down, she goes, honey, you're not supposed to be ordinary. Extraordinary people aren't ordinary. And I'm like, That's so true. You guys are extraordinary people. Everybody's extraordinary people, but they don't necessarily know it. What happens? What would happen if we started to treat people like they were wearing the armor of God and not Velcro suits with labels? Does that ring a bell to you? You know what I mean? Do you ever meet people who identify with things that are like just, it's something that is so a part of them that it's like for years for me, I was really like bummed out as a teenager. And I got told for years that I was, you know, could be bipolar, which is a chemical disorder. And they were saying, oh, by the time you're 18, you know, be careful. And so there was all of this fear embedded in me that I was going to be, I identified with this thing that I was being told that I could potentially have because of medical past history with my family. And I kept identifying with that. And one day, I never went on meds, but I went to a few doctors for years and years and years. And I, for a long time, identified with that condition and used it as an excuse to just like blame my behavior on this sort of identity that I'd taken on as me. And when one day God said, "You're not depressed." He was like, "You are an intercessor. You're actually somebody who like picks on up on other people's emotions and knows what's going on. And it's not you, but there's actually like, I have like amazing plans for you, and you're an incredible like human being, and you're loved and you're good and you're made to do amazing things." And God began to speak into my true identity, that I'm a daughter, that I'm royalty. And suddenly like all of this other stuff, these lies and these things that I identified with fell away. And that's a part of truth. And that's what we need, Jesus and that personal intimate relationship with him, because we need him to reveal his truth to us. And further down in this verse, really quickly, it says, "Grant me purity of heart," or in some other versions it says, "Give me an undivided heart so that I may honor you. With all my heart I will praise you, O Lord my God." And the fact that he even says, "O Lord my God," makes this a really intimate and personal verse for David, because he identified God with, "My God, you're my God. You're like, I'm not going to worship the small gods. I'm not going to, you know, worship all these things that take our attention away from God, the big God." And he goes on and says, don't allow me to have an undivided heart. And I was asking, well, what that means to have an undivided heart. And a lot of the times we have a heart that's like, we believe truth. There's a part of us that's like, yes, I believe in God. I believe in him. Okay, got it down, got it. But I'm actually living like I don't believe in him. Like we don't actually walk out some of these things we know in our hearts are true. And it's because there's this other part of like belief in the terms of like, okay, there is a God. I believe a God is a different kind of belief than I trust in God. I believe in him. I trust in him. I trust that even though what's around me tells me that sometimes that there isn't a God who's in control and that there isn't a God who's good, that stuff is actually not reality. That there's a spiritual reality where in the spiritual reality, Jesus on the cross died and beat death, and he resurrected and he beat it. And anything that has to do with that death, actually, it doesn't matter, because God won. Light wins and love prevails. Love wins and truth wins out. But when we understand that, it's like going into a battle that you know you already won. And it's interesting that in Ephesians, we're not fighting people. You know, like I get so frustrated sometimes with my professors who are up there teaching all of this stuff that's so confusing. I don't know if you've ever felt like you're just so confused by a topic. You're like, what are they saying? Who was inventing that? Why were they talking? What are they talking about? It just doesn't make any sense. A lot of that is because it's literally just trying to figure, it's trying to be God, and there's nothing wrong with intelligence. I am totally about, like, going to school or, like, figuring things out, and it's, God's made it, made us to want to learn. Teach me your ways, O Lord. That means he has to be learning something, is what David's saying. But the thing is that when it gets in the way of our hearts being engaged with God, who is truth, who is asking us to have faith and trust in him sometimes, that's when there's like, we have to know what he's asking us to do, and that comes out of relationship. And one thing I wanted to say about also this, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. The very fact that it says teach me, and David is saying teach me, means that he has to humble himself in order to be teachable. Which means he doesn't know everything. And when we learn something, how many of you know it takes time? So this journey with God, who is truth, is going to take some time. And is going to take time to go to him and be like, I'm believing this lie right now. Or my friend is believing this lie right now. Because it doesn't line up with your good, your faithful, your love. You're a jealous God. You want my heart. You're kind. You're a father. Like, there's all these different things. You're a comforter. You're a counselor. You're Prince of Peace. There are these pieces to God. And guys, if you don't know what God's character is like, read about his character. And ask him what he's like. And tell him that you're concerned about some of the things that are going on. That's what prayer is. Prayer doesn't have to look, I'm not saying prayer is not like, you know, hard, that we can get excited. If you want to yell, that's fine. That's fine. But it doesn't mean that there's any more authority because you're yelling loud. Me and my dad had this conversation once when my dad was yelling and trying to drill a point home. And I was like, Dad, just because you're yelling doesn't mean you're right. He was like, and I used to respond like that back. Like, I used to get into arguments with people and try and talk louder. How many of you have done this? You're in an argument with someone and you're like yelling really loud to try and prove your point. Does that mean that you're right? It just means that you're loud. And I think sometimes God wants us to be willing to humble ourselves and listen to people. And if we identify something that we're like, oh man, but God's totally not thinking like that about that person. You know, if your friend comes to you with a problem or like something going on, then like how cool it would be if your friend started to be, if instead of like talking about surfacey stuff and about like, you know, so-and-so and being jealous and comparing ourselves to our friends and all of this stuff that happens in high school and on into life. How cool would it be if you all of a sudden started being like, hey man, like, I don't know, I'm just going through this. And you got to be like, oh, well, like, God says this about that issue. Or, like, I talked to God, or I said, like, oh, I'm sorry you're going through that, I'll totally pray for you. And then actually be like, God, why is that person believing that? Or, like, why is my friend going through that? I have this friend right now who met at school, and she's really cool. And at the beginning of the year, God pointed out to me right away, in my research class, and he was like, be your friend. And I'm like, well, I don't, how am I supposed to, you know, you're back in school, it's like, hey, I want to be your friend. Like, it doesn't work like that. I'm like, well, give me an opportunity to be your friend then. Anyways, I was kind of attitude-y with God. And a week later, she came back and she had a broken finger. And I was like, what, do you want me to pray for her broken finger? And he was like, no, actually, I don't want you to pray for her broken finger right now. I want you to go and offer her your notes because she can't write notes. And I was like, but you can heal her broken finger. He's like, yeah, but I'm asking you to go ask her if you can take notes for her. Bye, guys. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, she doesn't believe that that somebody else would want to help her out in school because all she's ever experienced is competition. And I was like, oh, that's the issue you want to get at. But I wouldn't have known that on my own. Would I have known that on my own? No. And I could have just thought in the kingdom of God, well, someone has a broken finger, therefore I must pray for the broken finger right now. But God wasn't saying that at that moment. Didn't mean that he didn't want to heal her broken finger, but he wanted to show her love in a different way. And so I began this relationship with her. I said, hey, can I take notes for you until your finger gets healed? And she's like, at first she was like, like, this person's talking to me, it's so weird. She's gorgeous, really intelligent, going to law school, like, has all this confidence type thing. And yet it was just like, there was something about me asking her if I could help her out that just totally counteracted everything that she really expected from me as a human being. And I had no idea, and I wouldn't have known that if I didn't have Jesus. I didn't have to listen, you know. Guys, we need to listen to what God is saying and what he's teaching us, and that's going to take time. And I encourage you to ask him questions. Now I have a great friendship with her, and I've been able to, like, go out and hang out and chat, and I actually end up, it turns out she lives in my area, like 5 minutes down the road. I carpool her to school, to class. And so it's like, God just sets these things up, and guys, God wants to set you up for success. He wants to set you up for victory, and he wants, because he's all about relationship with him and relationship with your friends. He's not about, they're the enemy. They're not, no one is the enemy except the enemy. You guys get that? Everybody is like called to be sons and daughters of the Most High King, royalty. And part of our privilege, it's not a false responsibility, part of our privilege as royalty, as having freedom, is that we get to actually chat with God about the secrets of his heart for other people. How cool is that? It's really, really cool. Anyways, I just want to pray for you guys, because it's like, I loved this verse. I didn't really preach much on anything else, but I loved it that the two verses were Psalm 86, 11 to 12, and that was David speaking. And the other one was John 14, 5 to 7, which says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. And he's talking to Thomas at that time. And Thomas is questioning God. And so I want to say it's okay to ask questions, and it's okay to inquire, because that's how we discover what actually the truth is in order. And you know what? I know that a battle was won that day when I just listened to God and decided to, like, walk in truth. That was praying. That's a really different way to look at prayer, but that's what it was. I was chatting with God in my class. We were having a conversation, and all of a sudden, bam. Now this girl doesn't believe necessarily that no one wants to help her out, because there's been a new belief. Is that cool? So I want to pray for you guys. Holy Spirit, I thank you for every single person here. I thank you that you have called them your sons and your daughters, your prince and your princesses. And every single person here has your kingdom living inside of them. That, like, God, you are, like, totally just partnering with them in school and at home in their families and in their workplaces. And that, God, I thank you that you are not surprised by their struggles. That you're not surprised by our questions. You're not surprised when things aren't easy. And that, God, you want to show us and reveal your truth to us. And God, we're willing, and we want to be people who listen and who walk in that and who aren't afraid to speak your truth in love to people. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would continue to work in their lives and that you would continue to, like, reveal yourself to them. And even just in their relationships, to reveal what it looks like, what your love looks like in the relationships, to reconcile friendships that have been maybe lost, or, like, things in their families. God, I thank you that that is what you're wanting to do. And bless them with an awesome, awesome, like, month of February. Jesus' name. Amen.